Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Getting It Done, and I am your host, Dr. Walter Dean. Well, the show today is going to be one that hopefully covers a lot of territory. I was supposed to have a show on Friday, however, I didn't, so I scheduled the show for today, which is an hour and a half long. It's going to be a mixture of one or two things, or actually two things. We're going to listen to some people talking about one of the things that's causing all the concern here in our country today, or the world, actually, and that's the sickness that's connected with this disease. And then from there, that's present. Then we're going to go and deal with Herbert Hoover, the former person who was involved with this country. And then we're going to go on to some jazz, and you'll listen to one of the great minds in jazz. That's Herbie Hancock, along with Christina Aguirre. I can't get her name right. I mess it up every time. But let's start off with what's happening right here in our world. So let's begin. Let's see if I can get it down there.
Phone bells ringing tonight of the coronavirus outbreak in this country. Doctors say the virus is spread through droplets when someone coughs or sneezes. And I think the business community, it's in their interest that people actually stay home and stop the spread. For a business that can allow more employees to telecommute, we want you to do that.
Hey, my name is Lindsay Jacobson. I'm a senior producer with CNBC. We've been working from home for about a week now, and it's going okay. I'm very lucky in that I have a separate space where I can work. My partner works at home full time, so I've been invading his space a little bit, but so far, so good. I did some research on how the U.S. economy can perform while we're all dealing with the coronavirus outbreak, and how productive the American workforce can be while working remotely.
50 to 60% of the workforce holds a job that is at least partially compatible with remote work.
As of 2017, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics estimated the civilian labor workforce at about 160 million employees. If 56% of those people are eligible for remote work, that means over 89 million people could potentially work from home. Of course, that leaves out 44% of the American workforce, but does provide alternative opportunities for a lot of people.
For us, the obvious choice was to really strongly encourage our employees to work from home.
The technology is here now that enables remote working to be really, really effective and productive.
While not all employees are eligible for remote work, the emptying of offices and mass transit limits exposure for those who still need to go to the office, like doctors, cleaning staff, police officers, firefighters, gig workers, and other service-related professionals. With the vaccine for COVID-19 still in the distant future, U.S. companies are individually taking steps to enable their remote workforces.
It's been really interesting to see the spike in usage that has actually unfortunately followed the spread of coronavirus.
With the coronavirus pandemic shuttering offices nationwide, can employers and employees adapt to a culture of remote work? Can the U.S. work from home? With many states, including Washington, New York, and Florida, and the federal government declaring states of emergencies, many companies are attempting to follow the trend of allowing remote work.
However, telecommuting, remote work, and working from home, which all entail similar experiences, have been on the rise for a while.
There's a lot of different things. It's called telecommuting, remote working, the future of work. It's absolutely something that is gaining in momentum.
The federal government has been required to every employee to work at home to the maximum extent possible since the year 2001.
Regular work at home has grown 173% since 2005.
The drivers tend to change with the economy, with whatever's going on in the world. So during the recession, it was about saving money, and that's what was driving CEOs to it. They found that if people were not in the building, they didn't have to pay as much for real estate. Right now, it's about attraction and retention of talent. talent shortage, and people want flexibility in some cases more than salary. This past week, it has been continuity of operations and the coronavirus.
Over the course of the last really couple of years, we have been moving to a more distributed workforce.
Gallup's State of the American Workplace study found that 43% of employees work remotely with some frequency. Global Workplace Analytics found that 5 million employees, or 3.6% of the workforce, works at home at least half of the time. Research indicates that during a 5-day work week, working remotely for 2 to 3 days is the most productive. That gives employees 2 to 3 days of meetings and interaction and collaboration with an opportunity to focus on just the work for the other 2 to 3 days of the week.
I think there's really four things that's driving it. Number one is, frankly, an increased focus on sustainability.
People in the United States who wanted to work from home, and that's about 80% of the population, say they'd like to do it at least some of the time, did at least two and a half days a week, half time. It would be the greenhouse gas equivalent of taking the entire New York State workforce off the road permanently.
The other thing that it does is obviously on the cost side, and there's a lot of costs associated with business travel, and so it helps companies address the cost.
We calculated that a typical company saves about $11,000 per half-time telecommuter, somebody that's doing it 2.5 days a week per year.
However, not all companies agree that working remotely cuts costs.
Cost savings has never been a driver for us to distribute our workforce. If you reduce food service, for example, because not as many people are coming into the office, what I think that will allow us to do is shift resources to allowing more support for people in their home office setup, where you might save costs from an office perspective. I think if you're going to do it the right way, you've got to reinvest in other things.
You know, there's another interesting thing that the millennials are not the ones that are working at home, but they're the ones that asked for it.
I would say the thing that we've seen in the last two years would be a change in the workforce itself, almost demanding workplace flexibility, the ability to work where they want to work, when they want to work.
That workplace flexibility has also allowed for a more diversified talent pool.
It's been more about talent and flexibility and being able to attract and retain the right folks for us. So getting kind of spreading our teams out, not being as concentrated in San Francisco for a number of reasons, in part to tap into broader pools of talent across the globe and not just hire people who are only willing to work in San Francisco.
New England and Mid-Atlantic region employers are most likely to offer telecommuting options, and full-time employees are 4 times more likely to have remote work options than part-time employees. A typical remote worker is college-educated, at least 45 years old, and earns an annual salary of $58,000 while working for a company with over 100 employees.
A lot of people think it's the millennials. A lot of people think it's moms. Both of those are wrong. It's about equal men and women. But it is skewed at the older, more experienced, more tenured, higher salary end of the spectrum. Actually, it's a little bit polar. There's this area at the very low end of the spectrum, the low income call center agents, that kind of thing, and then the sort of senior managers.
There used to be a perception that only particular jobs are able to work from home because everyone was essentially coming back using applications that were sitting behind a firewall. Now, a lot of our applications are available just through an internet connection in the cloud.
As businesses evaluate how to properly protect their employees from the recent COVID-19 outbreak, many are basing their decisions on guidance from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC.
The CDC recommends sick employees stay home from work until the criteria to discontinue home isolation are met.
Employers should also ensure that sick leave policies are flexible and consistent with public health guidance. The CDC recommends that employers not require a doctor's note for employees who are sick, as healthcare provider offices may be extremely busy. The CDC also recommends employers maintain flexible policies to allow employees to care for sick family members. Employees who come to work sick should be separated from other employees and sent home immediately.
The CDC is a premier public health agency, and so it's important that they're able to spread their recommendations appropriately. We have to make it possible
for people to follow those recommendations. To help employees follow the guidelines for social distancing, many companies are implementing their business continuity plans, which incorporate a work-from-home policy. Companies like Twitter are requesting all employees work from home.
The people are just really thinking thoughtfully about how to get the same work done in a different way.
Some companies are installing a bi-weekly work-from-home policy. In that case, at least a portion of the workforce has their exposure limited, while work is still able to continue. Depending on an employee's role, companies are allowing remote work and testing its feasibility.
We're actually doing a rolling shutdown of offices around the world and testing, stress testing, if you will, to make sure we have business continuity in place, that we don't cause disruptions for our customers or our employees.
Remote work seems like a logical precaution for many companies that employ people in the digital economy. However, not all Americans have access to the internet at home or work in industries that require in-person work. According to the Pew Research Center, roughly three-quarters of American adults have broadband internet service at home. However, the study found that racial minorities, older adults, rural residents, and people with lower levels of education and income are more likely to not have broadband service at home. In addition, 1 in 5 American adults only access the internet through their smartphone and do not have traditional broadband access.
We did an analysis several years ago looking at the Bureau of Labor Statistics data in terms of what industries have components of remote work now, and it was virtually every industry, so construction, agriculture. You know, there's some component of many, if not most, jobs now that involve sitting in front of a computer, talking on the phone, whatever. I mean, certainly there are some industries that are leading, the tech industry, of course. Healthcare might surprise you, banking and finance.
However, there are many jobs that simply cannot be performed outside of the office. So allowing employees who can work remotely to do so protects those employees who need to commute to the office.
For healthcare providers, for educational schools, hospitals, municipalities, and nonprofits dealing with coronavirus, we're actually giving away what we call emergency remote work kits, which enable those companies to stand up workers really quickly.
This means LogMeIn, like other organizations, is offering its software services, including video conferencing and IT support, free of charge to eligible groups during the coronavirus pandemic. Other digital connecting sites like Slack and Skype have always had free versions available. This outbreak is testing the abilities of both software and broadband companies.
Many people also do not enjoy working from their own home. From their own couch. They can find it hard to concentrate, difficult to work in their home environment, be easily distracted, and have members of their family or neighbors not respect their time. Of course, all of these are heightened by the outbreak. Children have been kept home from schools, and many employees agreed to work from home without much notice or time to prepare.
We wouldn't have rolled it out in this accelerated pace. We would have taken it in more of a tiered approach. And, you know, wouldn't have rolled out for virtual onboarding, for example, until we had it in a place where we thought it was in great shape or better shape. That said, I do think this is just accelerating the direction we were going anyway.
Coronavirus is going to reach a big goal. We've followed along at about 10% growth in New York for the last 10 years. But I foresee that this is going to really accelerate the trend.
Adapting to working remotely or from home can be an adjustment for both employees and managers.
I think one of the most important things is having a door, having a place in your home where you can close the door, lock out the kids, lock out the dogs, and just concentrate. You have to be comfortable with technology, knowing how to not just use GoToMeeting or Skype, but, you know, all of the tools, because you're going to be talking to people that are using different platforms. And you can't let that scare you. So there always is that fear, you know, are you working? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? And so stay in touch with your boss and your colleagues more.
You need to replace those water cooler conversations with greater rigor around management and engagement. You have to force yourself to make sure that you're connecting with your team every day.
There's managers who are skeptical that are now starting to believe. I think there are employees that weren't sure that they could be productive or show up the right way if they were remote, that now like that flexibility and would want to continue it. When you have this kind of environment where everybody is remote, you feel like you're on this kind of level playing field.
We've actually seen companies have a site leader for remote workers, someone who represents the needs and expectations of remote workers to management.
If they're going to work hard in the office, they're going to work hard at home. If they're going to slack off in an office, they're going to slack off at home. You know, just, I don't think people fundamentally change who they are as a human just because they're working from home.
Telecommuting all comes down to trust. Study after study, academic, practical, shows that they're more productive. In fact, they give back about 60% of the time they would have otherwise spent commuting to working. In fact, one of the biggest problems for people who work at home is turning it off.
At some point, we will return to normal. And once the countrywide stress test of remote work is over, some company cultures may change to be more open to telework.
I don't think we'll go back to the same way we used to operate. I really don't.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it gave you an opportunity to see how some people are beginning to realize that this is a very serious kind of situation that we have with this disease, the COVID-19, and they are starting to make adjustments as far as work is concerned. And once this disease structure is finalized and people who are still here are able to go back and analyze this whole situation, it's quite possible that many of the businesses that are going either ahead or are going to fall behind will be making different kinds of changes. And home might be one of the ways that occurs. We're going to move on now to hear something about one of the leaders of the FBI who I think this man right here, if we can find him, will actually tell us, or we'll find out really what he was doing during this particular period of time that we were sort of napping. Let's see what happens.
New alarm bells ringing tonight of the
see there? That is why I know that we're functioning in a situation where it's very difficult for me to pull up what I want to pull up. And it's a constant problem of adjusting a computer that will not allow you to do what you want to do. So let's leave that and go on down to where I was going to go in the first place and see if we can pull up the guy who I think was a genius at one time and still is a genius today. When he was a young person playing with Miles Davis, he followed within the limelight of what Miles was trying to accomplish. And maybe he every now and then would provide Miles with some of his concepts and ideas as far as music was concerned. But we're going to find out what he's doing today, and that's Herbie Hancock. Let's give a listen to really what he's all about. Thank you.
began making this album. And the idea came from my realizing that so many musicians are put into what we call pigeonholes. Whatever is the record that made them famous, they will continually encourage to do that same kind of thing time and time again. I'm looking for people from various genres that I feel might be interested in exploring the territory that could possibly develop from a collaboration with me. And perhaps maybe something totally different would happen.
Collaboration between myself and a lot of different artists,
right.
You know, and the spirit of it is that each artist brings what they bring to the table. I bring what I bring to the table, and then we see, you know, what happens when we get together. Because, like, you know, there's things I bring to the table from my experience, you know, from coming from jazz, and then there are things that you bring to the table. Your youth, your connection to the music of the era that you're born in, you know, and it's turned out to be really nice.
Good.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs in some bad times. I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. We're alone now and singing songs for you. Image of me, what I hope to be. I feel you are having a chance. There's no one more important to me. So, darling, can't you please
speak to me? I can't hear myself. I need more reverb, I need flat.
I love you when I'm late. We're better to be so tired. I love you for my life. Your friend. And when my life is over, remember, it was a gift.
Challenge, and there's more encouragement to stay where you are.
don't make a wave. I think the word that kind of captures the spirit of what I believe in and what I'm really about and what I hope to achieve is the word possibility. As children, we have that sense that anything is possible, and we have that kind of openness. We're not jaded. The older we get, the more frozen we get, the more frightened we get, the more set in our ways we get, because we're afraid of the unknown. Whereas, as a child, everything is unknown. What a beautiful place to reside in, you know, in your own being, you know, where you still have the wonder of a child.
I do for Herbie, and then the only thing I can imagine is that, okay, you must want me to play in my own little way. So I didn't really get that nervous coming in, because I knew that I must have been asked for something I've already done, which is definitely not playing jazz. I just butcher it. So I'm just kind of trying to do my thing, whatever that might be, and see what that turns out to.
On that three part, what did you say, the popish thing? Yeah. I wonder if we could, on that D chord, if we could make it. Like a B flat chord with a D on the bottom.
Okay.
You know, like that B flat two. And then the G chord with a B on the bottom.
I didn't know what to expect. I'd never met John Mayer before. I had been told that John had an idea. And I didn't know what the idea was.
I had written this groove on the guitar at home the day before. So I started playing this groove. Da 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 da.
We just started to just get a groove going, and then little by little, some melodic fragments form.
To this day, I don't know exactly what he had before we started playing. But somehow, right away, things started to happen.
Get out of that and it's gone.
Exactly how you see it. is exactly how it all went down.
Chordal structure started to be built, rhythmic structure, rhythmic ideas, and then he was making up a melody. He probably had some melody ideas before, but he didn't have lyrics. So he just started making up some words as he went along. And some of them were pretty good.
The girls like that don't sleep alone.
Friend of mine, Pino Palladino, great bass player also. Pino and I had lunch one day, and Pino says, yeah, man, the last thing you need is a girl to stitch you up. And I went, what does that mean? You know, stitch you up, like, you know, do you wrong. And I went, wow, that's cool. Stitch me up.
Stitched up, out of my mind, feet strung up, dragging behind, no, trapped in, can't do a thing because I'm locked down. Stitched up, feeling the burn off, strung up, I finally learned that, trapped in, can't do a thing because you're locked down.
Thank you.
Well, you know, Herbie doesn't have to solo.
you just really kicked Herbie out of his own thing. I hope you feel good.
I mean, you know, forget his names on the record. We didn't really have to solo that. We were just that's just in case nothing else came up.
Don't worry about it. I get all the credit for it. It's okay.
No New Year's Day, just as a way, chocolate cup can be hard to give away. No person's
up for what you believe in. And I learned a lot about listening from Miles. Turning whatever.
whatever happens musically into something of value. That's what you try to do, rather than be judgmental about what some other guy is playing. Leave judgment out of the picture and just take what's there and make something happen with it.
Which is, that's how I managed to keep
A master doesn't tell you what to do because the master wants you to reveal yourself.
See, this is real collaboration that we're doing here. None of the arrangements are just finished the night before or two or three nights before, completely done, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and everything is all planned, and everybody gets told what to do. None of this record so far has been done like that. It's all been really decided at the session.
What I would naturally do is I would start composing this stuff a little bit more.
Right.
You have these jam band sections, but you take some of those things,
right.
And that would be my natural inclination. If there's
great.
Anything I could add,
good.
And I would start thinking, you know, of trying to make it a little more structured. Whereas the Headhunter group and the Miles thing, like Miles did a thing with that, with like pitching through the scene.
Oh yeah, would you just accept? I can do that.
Okay.
That's not why I'm here.
Okay, great.
You know what I mean? All right,
that's good.
I'm here because of stuff that I don't know
yeah.
how to do.
I was trying to get more of what he's been doing the territory that he's been exploring lately. I was trying to pull that out of him. He wasn't going that way.
I don't want to hit him. I could call Paul Jackson and, and do this, get the head of it.
Yeah. Let's say you know, and tell me this is, I'm just talking.
Look, I'm open to all ideas.
Let's just this idea here. Take it on whatever, you know.
Thank you.
Process of who you are as an individual. At the end of the day, nobody can take from you what's created by your own being.
Yeah, it's one of those kind of songs that a lot of ways it could go. C sharp minus 7 flat 5 is what it is. Put F sharp on the bottom.
Oh, does
that help?
You know that I love you. You know that I love you. You know that I love you.
I'm trying to figure out, should I go into that or there? Or just...
Oh, okay. No. Cool voice, I think.
You know that I love you.
Okay.
And that love is yours.
Okay. Yeah, I wrote my part out.
So much now. Don't explain. There ain't nothing to gain. Well, I'm glad that you're back. Don't explain.
They suggested the song Don't Explain. And I said, wow, that's cool. It's a Billie Holiday tune. Can they deliver that? You know, these are two very young artists from Ireland. So much jazz in
then the notes and phrases that she picks. I mean, she was singing the ninth and the 11th of the chords. I mean, some of the things sound like choices that Miles would have made.
Record is have the music grow out of the realities of life. We've taken some time to kind of get to know each other just personally, talk about other kinds of things, politics.
I think free thought in this country is at a loss.
Well, there's no thought.
You're exactly.
It's a question.
If you are working toward touching
the parts of a person's life that have to do with elegance, beauty, exactly. It's the opposite of those who are trying to touch the part of a person's being that is about power for the sake of power.
This is the thing, man. We don't have to worry about anybody else's doing. All you need to do is that every day is a battlefield. But if you fight with anger, you're the problem. If you fight with joy, you're the solution.
Shows you how cynical we human beings, we try to be and how mean we can be by trying to call ourselves God, because next to every embassy, you find huge holes with dead bodies because of the genocide. Millions of them have been killed. Millions. It's hard for me to find joy every day, because everywhere, every step you go, you find on your way barriers that just hold you back. It's like pounding on the wall that doesn't want to move. But I was one of the dark is the tall fall, because it has to be like that.
But light is stronger than darkness.
Oh.
And you have a lot of light in you. You know, conviction is from your soul.
Oh, definitely.
You have to have conviction to go out there and say, you can't stop me. You cannot break my spirit. Before I go, and I'm done with this body, there will be some hearts that will be touched by my spirit.
Come out there, go vulnerable, and walk the walk,
thoughts, words, and deeds.
We were married on a rainy day. The sky was yellow and the grass was gray. We signed the papers and we gave away.
trying to do a record just for the fans that already buy my record, then I could just do a regular jazz record. But I'm looking to show other sides of me influenced by other people, by the environment, by the time. Even before I started playing piano, I used to take apart watches and put them back together, and I tried to take apart my electric lino, electric tuning, you know, and put it back together. Most of the time, they didn't work when I put them back together, but I was always this curious kind of kid, you know. I was an engineering major in college for my first 2 years.
Session, listening to Herbie Hancock got 15 minutes or less to go in this game, or actually in this show. And whether you realize it or not, you're listening to one of the musical geniuses. This is Getting It Done, and I am your host, Dr. Dean. And I've been sitting here listening to all of the various things about this man. You know, he played with, at age 23, we know that he played with Miles Davis in his younger, as a young person, gained a lot of knowledge. And this is a recording session with different people. Collaboration, he calls it. And what a fantastic musician this remarkable person is. We're gonna listen to the big band with Phil Collins, and close out our show with that. But let's see if we can pull him up.
The third concert at Tony Phil Collins. Avec Peter Beatty's arranged and conducted by Iris Bardin with Phil Collins and the Phil Collins Big Band. Iris Bardin! Thank you.
You've been listening to Getting It Done with Dr. Walter Dean. This last group is Phil Collins' band, The Big Band, and the song's called Pick Up the Pieces. The first person that you heard playing on the, Phil Collins is playing the drums, and not only is Phil Collins playing the drums, but I've also you heard the great George Duke playing the piano. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Looking forward to the show next Friday. Tune in. Have a good week, baby.